Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, the piggiest part of all of Tokyo.
Hey. First of all, you're not matching up with my scale of Kichijoji singing that we say we do.
And I never will. You need to let that dream die. It's never going to happen, girl. So what's happening with all these piggies here?
Well, not everyone can see it. So now you brought it up.
Okay. So yeah, because I remember that some people just listen to this rather than watch it.
I've just been having a really hard week.
Uh-huh.
So I am wearing my safety pig hat.
Right.
And I brought down my safety pig kogi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to really know. It's a normal thing that lots of people do when they're feeling glum.
I gotta say, this combination is a new one because you've only been doing it over the past couple of days. Because
the double pig combination?
The double pig combination, because before you were just having kogi or the hat, but never the two at the same time.
I did have concerns about the pigs meeting each other.
This fucking guy is behind the TV and he's gonna rip shit up. I gotta stop this.
I'll explain while Simon pulls our cat out from behind the television. He's recently gotten into a crazy mode. He's running around. He wants to eat all the wires. Anyhow, I felt like my one pig would be confused about the other pig, and so I couldn't wear the two at the same time, because one pig might be like, are you wearing a dead version of me on your head? So I had to be like, it's okay, Kogi. That's just a hat that I wear that represents you. And so then you're my comfort pig, and so it's okay that the two come together.
Well, Mamers didn't like being moved too much.
No, I heard him screaming at you.
The whole point of this talk isn't supposed to be about piggies and crazy kitties. We're getting a little bit lost.
I was just stalling while you were pulling our cat out from behind the TV.
We had a very magical experience on Friday, and I want to share the experience. It was so magical.
It was really, really magical. We got an invitation last week from our granny neighbor.
Yes.
And she said to me, I really want you guys to come over for a tea ceremony.
Right.
And she is a tea ceremony teacher. She's been doing this for many, many years.
Yes.
That's why she's so amazing with her yukatas and her kimonos.
Uh-huh.
And she's so graceful.
That's right.
Like, just such a
grace. I think graceful is exactly it. Like, I don't know many people who I would describe as graceful.
No.
I love you dearly.
Oh, what?
Graceful isn't a word that I would use for you all the time.
Ever.
I would use it sometimes.
I'm graceful with my chopsticks when we go to expensive restaurants.
Sure. Right. But
that's,
you know,
where it ends.
But our grandma neighbor is always graceful.
You know, when you hear people describe like a princess or somebody, I will sing the song of my people over your podcast because you will not let me go behind your TV. When you hear people describe somebody as like they've got grace and poise and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I never really have met anyone who really like had that until I met our neighbor.
Right.
And now I get it. So she said, I would like to book a time with you guys to come and observe the tea ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, okay, is it okay if we take pictures? Or uh-huh. And she's like, no problem.
Yes.
So we booked it. We went at 2 p.m. We brought a little cake.
Right.
And then we went inside and she had one of the people that she's teaching, because she does lessons.
Yes.
So basically the girl was going to make tea for us. She's watching her.
Uh-huh.
And then we would drink the tea. That's right, Memers. It's true.
Memers, you're never going to get behind that TV again. And every time you do, I'm going to drag your fat ass out of there. So abandon that dream along with the harmonizing Kichijoji.
Never. So what happened, Ducky?
We went into the house. It was like we were invited for 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came into the house, it felt like you were stepping into a different world right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
Like it had the smell of sandalwood going mm-hmm. throughout the whole thing. It was very clean.
Mm-hmm.
We walked into like her room, both
her and, dining room area.
Yes. Both our grandma neighbor and her student were wearing yukatas, like really nice.
No, kimonos.
Were they full kimonos?
Yeah, those were kimonos.
Okay.
You can tell from the material. It was a super thick material and
oh.
they had the obi belt on,
yes.
which is that thick belt
uh-huh.
and it had embroidery in it, and then
yes.
it has the second rope that goes around it.
Right.
That's a kimono.
And when she guided us into her dining room, like she first pointed us to her wall because her wall had this scroll
mm-hmm.
That was on it.
The exact word I was going to say. It was a freaking scroll.
It was a scroll with like kanji in calligraphy. And it was very difficult for us to understand what's going on because, first of all, kanji is just like super difficult.
You say very difficult.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on
at all.
The only reason I knew what was going on was uh-huh. because I had read in advance, and Simon was like, you don't need to read advance about tea ceremonies. It'll be fine. Just enjoy it. And I
right.
was like, that's not really how I roll. I like to be kind of prepared for things.
Uh-huh.
Not totally, but a little bit.
Yep.
So I read a little bit about tea ceremonies, and what I learned was that each tea ceremony starts with a theme.
Yes.
So there's usually a calligraphy, like yes. a poem
right.
or a scroll.
Uh-huh.
That's right, memers.
That's right, memers.
And it has a message for what you're supposed to kind of reflect on.
Right.
And then it will have a flower in a vase.
Yes.
And it's usually a single stem or single. You never have like bunches.
Right.
Supposedly. My voice is going for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. So we were totally confused as to what she was trying to explain to us because she was speaking hardcore Japanese.
Because usually, like, we could hold on a conversation with her in, like, very basic
yeah,
English
back and
like
forth.
Back and forth. But, like, when it comes to abstract concepts, we can't discuss the meaning of life.
No.
So I think what we got
yeah, we got this, there in the end.
I think what we got there was that it had something to do with, like, evergreen trees.
Yes, she said, evergreen trees never lose their needles.
I thought they'd never lose their color.
Oh, shit.
When is it? Was it never lose their color?
Or never lose their... I mean, technically, it's the same thing.
Yes.
They don't lose their pine needles either. They never
evergreens
lose... Evergreens are forever green.
Green,
and they never lose their needles.
Yes.
So they're... That, anyways, that was it. It was like a Zen master being like, uh-huh. evergreen trees never lose their needles. And we're like, uh-huh.
But when we were brought into the room, like the first thing wasn't like sit down or anything. The first thing was like come to the wall and look at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to like appreciate what's going to be happening today.
Mm-hmm. If you're watching this as a pod video instead of a podcast,
uh-huh.
I have probably already posted up the picture of that. So
yeah.
if you read Japanese calligraphy,
yes.
please let us know in the comment section below what it says. And if you're listening to this, then that's the most you're getting.
That's our explanation.
Yeah. But the one thing I did find interesting was that she did try to explain to us a little bit about the idea of nature
mm-hmm.
and how there's always themes according to the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're bridging between it's November.
Mm-hmm.
So she says we're leaving the spring and summertime.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading towards autumn and winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was along the lines of nature and the changes in the seasons.
Right.
And we were like, and the ages
uh-huh.
and the changing and the ages.
She had us sit down
mm-hmm.
Afterwards at a small little table.
Which was really thoughtful because she said, I know that foreigners can't kneel
yes.
for that long. So she got us little tiny.
And we definitely couldn't because, oh boy, it was a 2-hour ceremony.
Yep.
I didn't think it was going to be that long. I thought it was going to be like, hey, do you want to have some tea and whatnot? But she really went all out with
mm-hmm.
it. So if we had kneeled for 2 hours, we would have been in really rough
shape. I could barely
afterwards.
Walk after that.
Yeah,
I got
just
up
for
out
sitting.
Of my chair. I can't sit for that long.
Yeah.
My SI joint.
But when we sat down, she actually pointed us to the wall where they were having the ceremony, the opposite wall
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the room. And she showed us this giant picture.
Huge painting.
Painting of that was
made. Size of a bathtub.
To represent her husband's birth, I think it was. So like they showed like kids playing.
Which she called fairies. So they're supposed to be
yeah.
like little spirits.
And one was pulling a wagon and there was a dog and they all had meanings that
yeah.
I forget, but I
not
just,
me.
No.
Represented,
you remember them all?
Of course
okay.
I do.
Uh-huh.
There were ones that were like, this represents prosperity.
Okay.
And then there was one that represents wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had kids playing with an instrument that represented like
noisiness.
Not noisiness. Frickin' noisy fairies with the frickin' noisy toys. Oh. No, it all represented something nice, like having lots of children or
yeah.
being healthy or bringing wealth. And it was
uh-huh.
just, they're all like symbolic things.
But it was just, it really added to the feeling
mm-hmm.
of the room that you're in. Because like our room is like a hodgepodge. Like we have some technology. We have some like weird furniture. We got like some like Sailor Moon stuff all around.
What
like,
are you trying to say? I have a
we
very
got
distinctive
some, like,
theme
stickers
in here.
On here. We got Koenji fucking city on our thing.
What?
We don't really have a unified theme, but like when you walked
what?
Into her, we don't have a theme in
I
this
disagree
house.
With you totally. I'm looking
what
up here.
What is the theme?
Okay, we have six framed.
Why is there Harry Potter beside Sailor Moon up there beside the Ehime duck by a potted plant by the honey badger?
Excuse me. Luna, the cat from Sailor Moon,
yes.
is wearing Memers' cat hat that he hates. And she is standing behind Draco Malfoy and accidentally knocked over Harry Potter because he can't stand properly. Then a sorting hat Harry Potter with Sailor Moon and Buffy and Snape because these are all books and characters that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love Buffy. I love Snape. I love Harry Potter. I love Draco. I love Luna and Sailor Moon. The Ehime duck is hanging out with Tuxedo Mask.
We have a blue and brown a fabric couch.
The blue reminds me of Swedgy.
With a leather, gray leather chair that we kept from before. None of this house. Look, when you, I think you could agree with me. When we walked into the grandma's house, it had its own distinct feeling.
Yeah, she's a tea teacher.
Right.
It's a tatami room with tea stuff all around it.
Right.
And by the way, I'd like to mention.
Yes.
Okay. tons of boxes.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, your boxes were great.
Not stacked boxes like some kind of dirty house. Like uh-huh. she would have a ledge and above it, you'd see these beautiful boxes with like hand stamping and handwriting on it and ribbons. And it looked to me exactly like being in a Harry Potter wand shop.
Oh, yep. When we went to Universal Studios and we went to that room where you have to like pick a wand and like the box pops out, it felt like that. There was that essence of like magic underlying that.
Because the boxes were so in such great condition, but clearly old. Mm-hmm. Like there's an ancient but good condition feeling. Mm-hmm. And everything had either a stamp and then handwriting on it to like for the dates and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I'm fast forwarding a bit to the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but she brought some of the boxes out to show us.
Yeah, I was about to go there also.
Right. She stores particular things for the tea ceremony in boxes. Right. And she said to us that boxes are extremely important in the tea ceremony and Japanese culture.
Yes.
She goes, it's not just about the item that like the teapot that you like put things in. She goes, it's about the box that it comes in as well.
And she said like a lot of times when these like boxes that like,
order it online.
Yeah.
Let's say.
She had this thing that holds the matcha powder.
Yeah.
All right. The little
the purse.
Vase. So like there is a vase and then the purse that goes with the vase.
It looks like a tiny vase.
Yeah, it looks like a tiny vase that they hold it in. And she's like, a lot of times overseas when people get this, they just throw away the box. But the box is just as important. You have to keep everything in its proper boxes.
And I told her I love boxes. And she's like, me too.
Which could be why when you go to secondhand shops here in Japan, like when you get your stuff.
Right, so Disney.
Like we bought a used frozen yogurt machine.
Yeah, it's for making yogurt out of bananas.
And I'm like, how is this used? They had every single bit of packaging, all of the plastic, all even the twist ties that they had with the original plastic.
Yep.
As soon as we buy something in our house, we just got the slow cooker 3 days ago. That box is long gone.
We didn't even test if it worked yet.
It just ripped it apart with our hands like work. Kids at Halloween. Not Halloween, at Christmas.
What?
Sorry, I've been away from my home, my motherland for so long. I don't remember.
How were you raised?
How are you getting? But like for her to have all of her boxes was really quite impressive. Mm-hmm. And something that you're like, see, I told you so.
The point is, Memers, you probably can't hear him, but he is caterwauling.
Sorry, caterwauling. Memers, nobody cares right now. We're trying to talk about a special moment with our granny. I really liked how she had her student there.
Mm-hmm.
And her student was very nervous.
Yeah.
Like
she kept saying Bikurish, like I'm startled or scared to do this
but
in front of us.
It was really nice watching like the student working on like all the right movements, and the grandma neighbor was just like sitting across from her, like really nice and smiling, not stern at all, but she would always give very gentle corrections. And the corrections for me were insane, because it was a matter of like sometimes like the student would put something on the table and the grandma's like, no, you're not supposed to put it there, you're supposed to put it like 3 millimeters over, and she would just nudge it over, be like, this is the right place for you to put it. I'm like, I don't see what you're seeing with this exquisite amount of detail. But then afterwards sometimes she would like draw lines, be like, you see how like the tip
this
of this
is where
thing
you put the matcha lid down, so this
lines
is
up
where
with the curve of
exactly
the spoon,
yeah,
lines up with the crease of this vase, everything lines up exactly perfectly. And I like, for me, like when the student put it down, like, yeah, that seems all right. But for the teacher, she's like, no, you need to put in the exact place.
You know what's funny is I knew exactly what she was seeing, because I think being someone who does like graphic design, I'm used to understanding the concept of a grid, like a snap grid.
Oh, okay.
So
a grid might make sense.
Yeah. So when I was designing like the Kichijoji shirts, because I was doing handwriting, it was harder for me to snap to the grid properly, because sometimes the kanji or like the character would be larger, right? Because you've got like a little tail end. So I remember having this grid that I put on my iPad, and I would have to physically move things over just a bit so that they matched each other's balance point, right? So when I saw her working with a student, I saw exactly where the student was supposed to put it. And I actually thought, why doesn't she just put it in the right, like I could see that you put down this here, and then after you scoop it and you do this, you put it down right here.
Yeah.
There's like an invisible line below it that I could clearly see.
I couldn't see that line at all.
But also what helped was I did my freaking research.
Right.
So what I learned about for tea ceremonies is that this blew my mind, because I actually didn't know this. Apparently, it's supposed to be aesthetically stripped bare of everything possible. So tea ceremonies are supposed to be how many things can you do correctly in the least amount of moves? So every single move is supposed to count. So if you've ever seen a Japanese tea ceremony, they have this thing they do with their napkins where they pull the napkin out of their kimono and you'll see them open, unfold it. It looks like they're going to do a magic trick or origami.
Yeah.
And then they unfold it again and then they like refold it into a square and then they use it to clean the lid. And every move seems so incredibly slow. But really what's happening is they're saying, how do you unfold this elegantly and get it into the shape that you need to wipe a lid without doing it in more than five moves?
Because I remember also like one of the parts of the ceremony was like when we were drinking the green tea. Oh, Kogi's having some of his own coffee. After we would drink it, like we're supposed to take three sips. And then we had this napkin that was given to us that was folded in a specific way. And you're supposed to take it and put it on the lip of the bowl.
Yeah. We're all sharing the same bowl. So you're you're trying to wipe down your lip. That's the whole point of it.
You wrap it around the lip, wipe it from left to right once. Lift it, fold it, and then put on the lip again, left to right once. Lift it, fold it, and then on the outside, rather than the inside, you give it a third wipe. And I remember your first time, you like wiped and you went back and forth.
I tried to go left and right.
And she's like, no, you don't do that because you're just bringing it back. Like whatever you wiped away, you're bringing back. So you have to make sure you do this. And I remember for me, I like, holy shit, I'm going to totally mess this up. And when she gave me the napkin, I dropped it on the ground because I was just so nervous. But the thing is, that house was meticulously clean. And she's like, okay, you're going to use a different napkin. I'm like, really? I was about to eat duck skin off the ground at Chinatown.
Well, we didn't tell her that. She wouldn't have invited us in. She would have been like, oh, no. Like when we were watching Great British Bake Off and Paul dunked his something into tea.
We don't do that in the South.
Mary Berry was unimpressed with Paul. She's like, oh, no. Like her face crumpled.
Right.
But the point is that exactly like we just explained, you are, and the logic behind it makes sense. You pick up the napkin, and so it hasn't been used yet, but you've touched it on one side, right? So you wipe it from left to right on one side, and then you fold it, not to be difficult, but because you just have matcha on it. And then you wipe it again, and then you fold that again, and then now you've got the clean side, and then you wipe away your lip. So it totally makes sense. But the problem is that there's all these little tiny things that you don't think about when you do something.
Right.
You just pick up your cup and you drink it, and you just eat your food, but everything has this like elegant movement. I will say, by the way, we didn't record this because I didn't want them to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not going to share any pictures of our neighbor online. Like, oh, like what you might be seeing in this video are some of the smaller items, but I don't want you to actually see
who. I'm just not sure if she's
Not sure if she's comfortable with that, so you'll see the cuter things.
Yeah, but one day I think we will hopefully be able to go to a tea ceremony where we can record it and we can show you guys, but it doesn't feel the same, I feel like, on camera as it does in person, because it's the amount of time that you have to patiently wait and watch that really does it. If we recorded a tea ceremony, I feel like I wouldn't be able to edit it.
I know, because I think you've exactly nailed it on the head. There is a deliberate pause and quietness. There was no background music. There was nothing going on. It was pure silence and just meticulous movement and just focus on the tea ceremony itself.
Because the when we say the tea ceremony, the thing that we observed, if I was to just break down what happened, was the teacher, the student comes in, right? So she bows to you, and then we have a greeting to say back to them, you know, that we had to learn. And then she sits down and she starts by cleaning all the tools. Even though all the tools are clean, the granny explained to us that all these tools are clean, but we want it to be, she said,
we want to show you
that
it's super clean.
That's what she said, that it's super clean.
Because we are so honored to serve you. I'm like, you're honored to serve me? Like, I like, look at what you're doing here. Look at the stuff that you have. Like, I'm honored to be here, but it's weird that like it felt
reciprocal. It's a very humble attitude that these people are learning these incredible teas. It's a dance, really, and then we are the reciprocants of this dance, but they're so happy to, you know, serve. That's the whole point of it. So they clean off the stick. They clean up, the stick is the technical term, of course, the scoopy stick. It's for lifting the matcha out of the container. They clean the little ladle, they clean the bowls, and everything is done super slow. And what I found fascinating was I did try to think to myself, I tried to jump ahead of the steps to see if I could catch what was going to happen. Like, okay, right now she's rinsing the bowl, which means when she's finished rinsing the bowls, a normal person would take that bowl and just dump the water while holding the ladle, trying to open the lid, kind of like how when you have too many groceries and you're determined to bring it into the house in one go, and you're like, you've got all these bags and you're like, I could just make two trips, but you don't want to. That's not like that for the tea ceremony. After she cleans the bowl, the ladle's going to go back into the right spot. Then the napkin's going to go in the right spot.
Exactly the right way, because you can't just put the ladle anywhere. Like, she lined up the placing.
In the symmetry,
like, you could see the muscle memory when she was moving her hand to put it down.
And then when you dump the water out, you have to first lift the lid. And she won't hold it. She'll put the cup down first. Mm-hmm. Then she'll move over to open the lid and put the lid down in the right spot. Mm-hmm. Then she'll go back again to pick up the cup. And then she'll go over and then she'll dump it. So there's all these, like, deliberate kind of, like, movements that are happening.
You know what my favorite part was?
Was it the wagashi?
It was the wagashi.
I knew you were going to get to that point.
Right before we had our second serving of tea, the first one was a
first breakfast?
That we share. But then afterwards, they made like a more diluted one. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that I'm used to for when we had tea ceremony before.
It was a sweeter, but they were all actually sweet. Neither of them were bitter.
And she like laid out this gorgeous tray of wagashi, these really small little like candies.
Wagashi are special Japanese pressed candies. Yeah. They're made in a different, I can't explain them because it's almost like a powdery jelly.
Like you
crumbly.
Put it in your mouth. It's kind of like a condensed cotton candy in some
ways. That's a really good way to describe it, like if it's been pressed in.
Right. But there's another one that's also like a crunchy outside with a jelly on the inside. Mm. And all of them had their own kind of meaning. So like, you got the fat sparrow.
I picked the fat sparrow.
I wanted the fat sparrow.
I know you wanted the fat sparrow. And I'm like, you want this fat sparrow? I'm getting the fat sparrow. Of course, it was all autumn themed. So we had a fat sparrow.
Yeah.
We had grains that were bundled from like the rice harvest.
And I'm like, is this a peanut? And she's like, that is not a peanut. that's what the rice is when you like bundle it together. And like, and then the rice looks like a peanut. And she's like, it's not a peanut.
And then he's like, I'll take the peanut.
I'll take the peanut.
And then she's like, it is not a peanut. It
but really okay.
But okay, yeah. So it was all themes like leaves and stuff like that. But here's the worst part. She puts it in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm
the
like,
timing.
I'm like ready to take my, like a little child who's ready to steal the candy and like you get your hand slapped away. Yeah. And she's like, right now it's only for looking.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, and so we just looked at this, like salivating these candies. In
you're
front
like,
of
right
us.
Now it's only for looking, with like the tray empty, and you got little crumbs.
Crumbs.
And
I'm like, I don't know what happened. Simon took her. I don't know sparrow. And then they have a certain moment where she goes, "Now you can pick two, one or two."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
You know
and
what so, it felt like? I felt like I was like on the line of a 100-meter sprint, and I would just wait, just like for that gun to go off. Like, okay, wakashi. But then the thing is, you got yours first.
Yeah, I picked the fat sparrow.
And then I just had to watch you eat before she actually
she wasn't allowed to give it to Simon yet. No. So I had to eat my wagashi first.
Yeah.
And then she gave me my tea. And then when I got my tea, I had to pass over the wagashi tray to Simon in a particular way.
Yes.
And then I also had to always tell Simon that I was going to eat first or drink first.
Yes.
So I would have to always turn to him. And she gave me a phrase to say in Japanese, which, Lord, if I remember now.
Ogayo mamaimi.
Ogayo mamaimi. And then I would be like, I would always go, ja, because they like that a lot. Ja means kind of like, so
I'm
going
to
eat
first and you could suck a fart out of my ass.
That's pretty much what I would say. And so I would eat my wagashi, then she gave me the thing. Mm-hmm. I drank it and the candy in your mouth ahead of time creates a change on your taste buds.
Yes.
So that she's basically doing pairing, right? Mm-hmm. The super, super sugar makes the flavor of the green tea really pop out afterwards.
And it was interesting because she wound up saying that like none of this is made with like eggs in it. But she said, back when Princess Diana came, they made a special kind of wagashi for her that would suit her palate a little bit more.
But they said they never include oils or butters or eggs because it's too heavy on your tongue and takes away from the flavor.
And I remember when, like, the times that we did have a tea ceremony, it was like a fancy upscale kind of like fusion modern Japanese place.
Where was this?
The where the guy made the tea ceremony twice in front of us.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that place?
Effervescence.
You took me for my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved Effervescence. Like, it was a tremendous restaurant. But, like, the wagashi that they gave was very, very rich and creamy.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it really matched the green tea as much as, like, the non-dairy-based wagashi matched from what the grandma neighbor gave us.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
I think so.
I mean, green tea can be made differently.
Or it could be that it tasted better because we didn't have proper wagashi
it's
beforehand.
True. Yeah, I don't know. But also the hot water balance and the way that you whisk it, all that stuff changes the taste of matcha. And I do think that we're slowly understanding that there are different kinds of green tea.
Mm-hmm.
When you have green tea in North America, you're really only given like this. Do you remember going to Japanese restaurants and they always have that one particular green tea with a tea bag?
Right.
Like, and I realize that it's like dollar store green tea essentially. It all tastes differently. Even when we went to Beijing and we had that little tea ceremony at the hotel, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
All the tea tasted differently.
Yeah.
There was first leaf tea, second leaf tea, golden tea.
I forgot about the first and second leaf.
Yeah.
Right.
It was it Beijing or was it in Taiwan? I think it was Taiwan.
I think Taiwan was the two. Yeah. I don't remember.
It was Taiwan because Beijing, we were there for work, and Taiwan, we were there for eating.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
And work. And but work. I mean, it was eating.
The point is, we had a tremendous time.
Oh my God. We've been talking forever and we haven't even
We barely talked about everything, but like our camera only has like 30 minutes in it, and these podcasts can't go that much longer. Yeah. But I just think we had a tremendous time. It was really nice of our grandma neighbor to invite us. Really I thoughtful. Felt so warm and welcome, and it was such a special moment for me to be invited to a neighbor's home and for her to do all this for me. For nothing. She didn't ask for anything in return. I didn't pay her or anything. She just wanted to be really nice and hospitable and inviting to us. And I think that even though you've been having a really tough week, like, you could still have good memories that you could hold with you.
I'm trying to hold them like burning embers to my heart. I'm like, keep me warm, tea ceremony. keep me warm.
And we'll have this memory forever. And I thank you for listening to us share this memory with you.
We're also going to print the photos that we took. Oh. And we're going to give them to our neighbor.
That puts a lot of pressure on me. So I hope that I could edit them right, because I'm still trying to learn photography.
No, they're really beautiful.
Thanks,
girl. I think he took some really nice photos. Right. Except I look like a dumpy 90-year-old woman giant. They're so small.
And you're so big.
There's one picture with me standing beside them, and I look like my feet are like 8 meters long, because I have really big feet. But still, I just looked huge.
And you also had really big socks on at the time that all had the same color and no like difference.
I didn't expect.
I didn't really... Didn't really expect a picture like that, but it is what it is.
Can't delete it now.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And let us know in the comment section below if you've ever had a tea ceremony and what your experience was. That's my story.
And next week we'll share some more stories.
Yeah.
All right.
Build a ladder, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
I'm trying to. I'm on step three, but it's tough.
You got it, girl. We'll do this together.
Wee, wee, wee.
Hands in. Team break. Wing.